We will start things off as we do each and every week, taking a look at the leaderboards, and it is the Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And the PGA Tour is in upstate New York, Verona, New York, to be exact. It's the second of seven fall series events, the Turning Stone Resort Championship, 7,482-yard par 72, Tuneyote Golf Club track in Verona, New York. And after three rounds of play, two-way tie for the top spot. Charles Howell III and Tag Ridings are both at 8 under par 208, one shot ahead of four players tied for third. Kyle Thompson, Brian Davis, Jeff Overton, and Jason Day all at 7 under par 209, just one shot back. Dustin Johnson, Robert Allenby, the Jupiter resident, Davis Love III are all at 6 under par, two strokes back. And then you've got a couple players at minus five, Charles Warren and Mark Hensby. And then at 4 under par, you've got another group of players, Robert Garrigus, Joe Ogilvie, Woody Austin. Haven't heard a lot from Woody lately. Woody Austin, Pat Perez, Steve Allen, Ryuji Yamada, and Matthew Goggin all at 4 under par. So a lot of players kind of closely bunched, all within four shots of the lead. But the top two and the final pairing today, Pat, Charles Howell III, a guy that has tons of talent and has won a couple of times on the PGA Tour, but it's been quite well over a year. It's been almost 2 years since Chucky Three Sticks won last on the PGA Tour. And then a guy in Tag Ridings who has had over 150 starts on the PGA Tour, and this is the first time in his career that he goes into the final round with at least a share of the lead, and he has yet to win on the PGA Tour. Kind of a mixed bag there in the final pairing today.
Well, I kind of call this the Q school for almost bins or has bins or whatever you want to call it on the PGA Tour. This is the chance for guys like Charles Howell III that have not played well. I think his last top 10 was in May, so he hasn't played well at all this year. And like you said, hasn't won in a couple of years. Tad Ridings, a guy that we had on our show.
Yeah, we've had him on twice, over the last 4 years.
Right, so, I mean, you know, but he's been around. You know, if you're a true golf fan, you've heard of him. You might not know exactly who he is. But there's a bunch of guys, just like you mentioned in here, Russ, a sprinkling of guys that have won majors, Davis Love III, that have at times have played really well, like a Mark Hensby or Joe Ogilvie or Woody Austin, but for whatever reason have lost, you know, some part of their game over the last year or so, and they have to use, in a sense, the fall series stuff, much like Justin Leonard did last year, to kind of rehab their game. And it's kind of a longer version of the Q school. They have a chance to win some money. It's official money. If they can get it cranked up and win one of these events or get a couple top tens or whatever, then they make enough money to not have to go to real Q school or use whatever exemptions they have for next year. So
right,
I think that's what you see in this, these types of events.
You're exactly right, Pat. These tournaments, these seven fall series events, and this is the second of seven, five more after this week. The number that everyone in this, I would say 90%. Well, there's two numbers, but for most of the players in this field, 90% of the players in this field, the number that they're really thinking of is 125. It's all about 125, getting your tour card for next year, getting exemptions into any event besides the, you know, the limited field events like the Memorial and Arnold Palmer and things like that, and WGC events. Well, that's the other number, but I'm getting ahead of myself. 125, that's the number most of the players are concerned with in this field. The other number is 70. That's the number that guys like Davis Love III, some of the, you know, Charles Howell III, some of the more grizzled veterans that have more of a pedigree that have won before, that's the number they're most concerned of, because that number, number 70, top 70 in the world, gets you into the WGC events, gets you into the Memorial, the Arnold Palmer, the limited field events. So those are the two numbers that in the fall series most of the players in the field are concerned with. You talked about the Justin Leonard kind of equation from last year during the fall series. Justin Leonard had been struggling for a number of years. We saw him miss the cut at last year's Honda Classic and had a real rough 2007. And then towards the end of the year in the fall series, he wins one, gets a win at Valero in San Antonio, and then starts his 2008 season on a roll. You know, he's feeling good about himself, feeling good about his game, picks off another win in Memphis at the St. Jude. So Justin Leonard used the fall series a year ago to kind of kickstart his game for this 2008 season. And Davis Love III is really saying he wants to take a page out of Justin Leonard's book and do exactly that this year and kickstart his 2009 season. And he looked awfully good yesterday, 6 under par 66. It was the best round of the day. And he goes in today's final round only three shots back of the lead at minus five. But getting back to Charles Howell III, Pat, it's been so long since Chucky Three Sticks last won that his last win isn't even called what it was called when he won it. He won the 2007 Nissan Open at Riviera. Well, we, of course, know that that tournament is now called the Northern Trust. So it's been well over a year and a half.
Almost. Did Ben Hogan win that Northern Trust?
Yeah, Ben Hogan won the Northern Trust back in like the 1950s. Yeah, that's what it was called. But Charles Howell III, you know, this is a guy who was on the President's Cup team last year, but was not on the Ryder Cup team this year. He's a guy that last few years we were accustomed to see him being on the American international team during the Ryder Cup or President's Cup, depending on the year. Wasn't the case this year, and he's another one of those guys, like a Davis Love III, who is perhaps using the fall series to kickstart his game for 2009.
Yeah, it's like a nationwide tour event on steroids. It's got guys that you've never heard of. It's got guys that you've, you know, sort of heard of. You know, they make an appearance in a tournament or two here. And then you have guys like Davis Love III or Charles Howell. The third, what's with the third?
I know, right? It's all about the thirds.
But anyway, you've got guys like that that are trying to quote unquote rehab their games in some aspect and you know, get things back on, get back on level where they can compete, you know, more effectively next year if they can win one of these events or two of them and get all that kind of stuff squared away. And like you said, gain some momentum going into next year. The interesting thing, Russ, is not that guys would never want to quote win a tournament. But in a weird way, and I'm not saying Justin Leonard isn't looking forward to going back to Valero, but it's
he's
almost like
defend. He's
right.
Defend.
It's like they'd like to come in second, so they don't have to come back to defend these things.
That's a great point, Pat. That's a very good point. We had Justin Leonard on the show last week.
We should have asked him.
He talked about defending in San Antonio for the Valero, but that's a great point. Had he not won that tournament last year, probably he would not be playing in the Valero in Texas later on this in a couple of weeks, actually, during the fall series. One final note on the Turning Stone Resort Championship before we take a look at the ladies. Good friend of the program, Olin Brown, Tequesta resident, of course, one of the assistant captains for Paul Azinger during the victorious Ryder Cup a couple weeks ago. He is playing this weekend, and he is at +2, +218 after rounds of even par 72 on Thursday, a 1-under par 71 on Friday, and then, you know, backed up a little bit yesterday with three over par round of 75. So he is at 2 over par, 218 aggregate, 10 shots back of Howell and Ridings going into today's final round. Nice to see Olin teeing it up again on the PGA Tour. And Paul Azinger, some notes in this week's Golf World magazine about Paul's decision to play in a couple of fall series events coming up, including Disney. So Paul Azinger will be back in action in the fall series a couple of times, including Disney, later on this year. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It is our Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. The ladies are in action this weekend as well. They're in Half Moon Bay, California for the Samsung World Championship. Limited field event, only 20 ladies in the field. It's the 6,450-yard par 72 ocean course at Half Moon Bay. And after three rounds of play, Paula Kramer leads at 6-under par. Angela Stanford solo second, one shot back at -5. Then you've got Catherine Hull, Song Hee Kim, and Lorena Ochoa at -4. Those three ladies are two shots back of Kramer. Julie Inkster, Suzanne Pedersen, and Christy Kerr joining us later today on the show. They are at -3, but actually, Pat, obviously, after three rounds of play, Kramer is the story. Leading at 6-under par, one shot ahead of Stanford. And Paula Kramer, along with Lorena Ochoa and Annika Sorenstam, they were the stories. Those three women were the stories of the first half of the season. But until Lorena Ochoa's victory last week, it had been almost 4 months since one of those three ladies had won. So Ochoa breaks through for her seventh win of the year last week, but her first in almost 4 months. And now Paula Kramer, who won three times earlier this year, now she's looking to possibly win today out in Half Moon Bay.
And you mentioned the third person in that triumvirate, Annika Sorenstam, who is, you know, trying to end this thing on a high note. She's going to retire at the end of this year. And it's like, you can just almost feel it's like she's kind of running out of steam at this point. She had a good first round and then just blows up for her in the second round. She shoots 77, which is very uncharacteristic of Annika. And you know, you almost get the sense that she's sort of gave it her best shot for this year and you know, played well in some events. And now that it's coming to the end of this thing, maybe the realization's starting to hit her and, you know, the grind and everything else. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we get out of her at the ADT. And hopefully, you know, she'll have kind of one last shot, glory's last shot, so to speak, for us.
Taking a page out of the PGA of America's
but,
book.
But, you know, it's a shame in a way to see her sort of finish, you know, just in the back of the pack, even in a limited field event like this.
Well, I must say this about Paula Kramer because she drives me crazy. I know she's leading the event here at -6. She's a shot ahead of Angela Stanford. That's your final pairing today out in California at the Samsung for the final round. You know, she continues to be, you know, I'm trying not to be mean, but she acts like a spoiled brat. Yesterday, she rebounded from a very bad second round Friday. She shot a 2-over par 74 on Friday, and I was watching some of the telecast. And, Pat, there were instances where she was throwing her clubs. She was yelling at her caddy. She was, you know, she was just being a – she was acting like a spoiled brat who – her, you know, her round wasn't going her way, so she was going to, you know, have a hissy fit. She rebounds yesterday for a 400-par 68, and then after the round, she's talking with Mike Ritz of the Golf Channel and saying, you know, I really learned a good lesson yesterday, not to let my head get me in trouble and let my temper get me in trouble, and I really learned a good lesson, you know. And she's acting like she'll never do that again, which is not the case. She's going to act again like a spoiled brat at some point. I just, you know, and she's been on the tour for 3 or 4 years now, and it's hard. Well, you know, we kind of forget that she's still only 21 years of age. She's still a young girl, you know, making her way into womanhood, but. She bothers me sometimes, Pat. She's got a bad attitude. I almost think Paula Kramer is like the Sergio Garcia of the female tour.
That's actually a good analogy. I did not see that on Saturday or Friday, but if she was doing that, you're absolutely right. Even though she's still young compared to me or compared to all of us, at the same time, she's been on the tour long enough to know how to act, and she's been around, you know, some of the great players like Annika and Kari Webb and Lorena, you know, who's more in her peer group. And I don't think you ever see Lorena throw a club or anything like that. She can get upset.
Not at all.
She can get upset, but there's a way to conduct yourself as a professional. And Paula needs to understand that, hey, if she's making a mistake or whatever, it's much better to learn from that, especially while it's happening, than let your emotions get out there. That's not – hey, there are some players that can use their emotion actually to benefit themselves. But in most cases – you know, you need to control that stuff because that's going to help with your putting, your concentration, everything else. You start throwing clubs or especially yelling at your caddy and all that stuff,
right.
Like blaming other people.
Exactly.
That's not going to cut it. You need to mature a little bit more than that.
I think the thing that bothers me the most, Pat, is I think we've heard from Paula, probably a half dozen times over the years that she's learned her lesson and won't do that again. And then she does it again a few weeks later. I mean, stop saying that you've learned your lesson. Like, and especially, how do you learn a lesson that's going to change the way you act for the rest of your life in one day? You don't do it. And that just proves her kind of immaturity and naivete that she thinks she's learned her lesson from one round of golf and she's turned the corner. It's an ongoing process. And you can never say, no matter how old you are or how young you are, you know, especially as a golfer in a sport like golf, you can never get to the point where you say, I've definitely turned the corner. I'll never do such and such ever again, because it's an ongoing process, man, matter how old you are.
And the other thing is, you know, like my old man used to say, like when I was younger and throw a club or whatever, he'd be like, you're not good enough to get mad about, you know, missing a putt or getting bad luck or whatever. And, you know, I started taking that in the right way, not as an offensive thing, but make yourself good enough that those types of things aren't going to happen. Otherwise, if you're missing short putts or whatever she got upset about, she misclubbed or whatever, you're not good enough. At that point, if you didn't execute properly, you weren't good enough to do it. So don't get mad at yourself. Go to the range, work on it, do what you need to do to get good enough that stuff isn't going to happen. But throwing clubs and yelling at your caddy, that ain't going to cut it.
There's no place for that on the LPGA Tour, especially from a player of Paula Kramer's ilk. I mean, she's got the talent. She's probably top five in the world when it comes to talent, but the head gets in the way every now and then, hoping to see that is not the case as she gets older and more mature. You know, after this tirade, she probably goes out and wins the tournament today. I wouldn't be surprised, but it's almost in spite of her mental aspect.
But the other thing, Russ, is you know, why did she blow up in the last round of the U.S. Women's Open?
Exactly.
Is it because there's thoughts creeping in that, hey, you know, it's not going my way or whatever? Whatever stuff you as a golfer use to kind of shield yourself when you're not playing well or you're under pressure or whatever it is, that's what Paula needs to get by. She needs to start thinking clearly in pressure situations, and it ain't going to happen if you're out there throwing clubs or being like, oh, everybody, just like you're saying with Sergio, everybody's against me, and that's why it's not happening.
Poor me, I am the victim here. Everything's going wrong for me, and I'm going to throw a hissy fit.
Exactly right.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. That's your Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom.